we will not miss the grace and what you have in store for us. Lord, only you is able to take these words from our head to our heart, and I pray that you will do it. Do not let us leave this place the way we came. Lord, change us with your word. Comfort us. Transform us. Fill us with your thoughts, with your love. So as we depart from this place, we return stronger than we came in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the church leadership, for the opportunity that is given to me to be the one sharing with you to Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11, we are going to do two main readings. The first one is Psalm 11, and the second one is in Isaiah 49. But let's begin with the first one. Psalm 11, I'll read the first three verses. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? This psalm is basically a conversation between the King David and what I believe to do his companions, his friends. David is being attacked or pursued by King Saul. David had been anointed to be the king, the next king. But the king, Saul, is not happy about it. And he tries by all means to get rid of him. So David reached a point where the attack, the threat is so intense that the people he's running, or the people he's with, who are with him, they look at the situation and they tell him, look, you can't stay here. You have to run away. Psalm 11 is a description of the situation whereby the righteous is under attack. And the righteous receives the advice from the people, the friends, the people who care. They care for him. They want him alive. And they ask him to consider the situation as it is. Look, the situation is not very good for you. Don't you see that the foundations are destroyed? What do you think you can do? In fact, it is not really a question. When they say, when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's not really a question. It's a suggestion. It's an invitation to David to consider the reality as it is and to just do what is obvious, which is to flee. And it is a good advice. By the way, if we consider it from a very human perspective, it's a very good advice for somebody who cares for you. But the psalmist does not seem to agree. He actually doesn't agree with his advisors. He says, how can you say to me, flee like a bird? He's not in agreement with his advisors. Why? Because to him, to flee here means to find refuge in something other than God. And it doesn't sound right to him. You see, brothers and sisters, when we are faced in situations that are very, very bad, we are threatened. We hear advice from a lot of people. And sometimes these people don't really mean bad. They really mean well. But the problem is, sometimes every good advice is not always a godly advice. And David knows it. He is able to discern it. And he chooses the wisdom from above. He is able to distinguish between not only the good and the bad advice, but he is able to distinguish between the good and the godly. May make sense, but it doesn't necessarily mean that advice, following the advice, will set us on the path that God has prepared for us. Hallelujah. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do when everything are upside down? It is difficult to answer such a question when we are looking in the wrong direction. And this is what the advisors of David are inviting him to do. Look at the situation. Consider what is happening around you. Then flee. But when we read from verse 4, we can see that David does not answer to the question because he knows that it's not a question. He does not answer the question. But then he says, the Lord chooses to change tone. He chooses to change the direction of his focus. I'm not going to focus on the situation around me. I choose to look up. Hallelujah. Look up and don't look around. Hallelujah. You will know the right thing to do depending on where you are looking at, where your focus is. And when he looks up, he decides to look to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, set your eyes on Jesus, who is the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. And David chooses to look up. And when we look up to God, when we look at his throne, where do we see? What do we see? What do we see? We don't only see, but we hear God. We hear what God has for us. We hear God's word, his message. And one of his messages that the Lord has for us today, I believe, is in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 13 down to 16. This is what the Bible says. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion, the people of God, they say, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget his baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? This is what the Lord says. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your words are ever before me. Hallelujah. What a comforting word from God. And this is what happens when we choose to focus not on what is happening around us, but on what is happening in the presence of the Lord. Because I'm the Lord who comforts you. We are able to hear God tells us, sing a song. Even though there's no reason to sing, sing a song because my comfort is available for you. We can hear God remind us, I have not forsaken you and I will never forsake you. I love you. And God, to explain his love for his people, God used the highest, the best form of love that we can ever experience as human, which is the love from the mother to his child, to her child. Hallelujah. Because this love, unlike the love that we receive or we may hope from our bosses or from our partners, this love of a mother to her child is unconditional. It does not depend on how the child looks, what the child does. No. And God says, my love is not just, is not even like the love of a mother to her child. It's much, much, much greater than that. Yes. It's unconditional. This love that I has for you will keep you secure, will keep you safe. And no matter what happened, I can never forget or forsake you. Why? Because I'm committed to you. Hallelujah. I'm committed to you. The relationship that I have with you is not transactional. It's covenantal. It does not depend on what you do. It depends on the commitment I have taken to care for you, to be there for you. And these are not just words. God is not just, you see, if we are told, I love you, it sounds good, but nobody really believes when you say, I love you, until you prove it. You see? And God goes beyond words. He doesn't just say, I love you, I committed to you. He says, see, look at the proof. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Now, in ancient times, in most of those societies, slavery was a common practice. So a slave will have on him a mark of the master that he belongs to. So if I'm a slave, I will have sometimes on my hand or on my arm a mark that identifies me to my master. And the marking of the slave was a painful process. We sometimes see it on animals. When farmers own animals, they will mark their cattle or whatever with something indelible, something that cannot be removed. But never, never you will see a master bearing the mark of his servant. Never, never. And God shows his people, he says, the love that I has for you is beyond what you can ever experience. I'm not just committed to you, but I've put you on the palm of my hand, so I will never forget you. Everywhere I am, I have you. Not only on my heart, on me. Hallelujah. Your words are constantly before me. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. I don't know how you feel about it when you read it, but to me, this is a great source of comfort. Because I know, well, no matter what happened, this God of mine will never forsake me. Hallelujah. He did not just say it, he proved it. Century letters, when the apostle Thomas will also go through a time of doubt, Jesus will remind him the proof of his love. He says in John chapter 20, you can read it at home. He says, look at my hand. Come and touch. You see? So that you will never, never be forsaken. At the cross, Jesus was forsaken so that we will never be forsaken. In today's society, we see this, almost the same thing. I remember there was a time I heard on the news that all the officers were required to put the picture of the president of the Republic of Congo in their offices. You have to put the picture of the president. They even demanded that it be done in all the schools. You see, this is the kind of power or relationship that those who rule us on earth want to have with us. You hardly see a boss or a leader. We consider normal to have the picture of our leader in our homes. Even the leaders consider that normal. To have their pictures, sometimes we have it on the calendar, the picture of the leader, so that you keep reminding yourself of your leader, your master. Hallelujah. But what God is saying in Isaiah 49, God is saying, I have all of you in my house. That is to say, if we could have the chance to enter in the presence of the Lord, each of us will see his picture in his house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you know that he can never forsake you. And that is the commitment that God has for you and I. So the question is, what can we do with that? What do I do with this commitment? When somebody is so loving, so engaged, how do we respond to such a demonstration of affection, which is not even depending on anything that we did? Because God is not in love with us. No. He's not in love with us. There's nothing that we did that led him to say, oh, these people are so amazing. I need to go and give myself for them. No. No. In fact, God did this when we were still sinners. We were not even thinking of him. He went ahead of us to make the provision for our security, our safety. Hallelujah. God had faith, I could say in court, that one day they will wake up and they will realize their need for a savior. And when that time will happen, they will find it ready. Hallelujah. So how do you respond to such a demonstration of love? The case for you. And to me, I hope that's the case for you. The most natural thing to do is not to remain indifferent. Hallelujah. The most natural thing is to say, God, if this is the love that you have for me, if this is how far you went for me, if this is how strong you are attached and committed to me, then there is nothing on my own that I have that I can withhold. You deserve it all. You deserve the all of me. You deserve my life. You deserve my time. You deserve my talent. You deserve my skills. You deserve my money. You deserve everything. Because what you have done for me can never be equated with anything that I have. In fact, if I'm even here, it's the result of your love and your commitment to me. Hallelujah. And this is why we drop what we do. This is why we come and serve. This is why we drop everything. This is why we shift our priorities. This is why we change the priorities in our lives. Are you ready, brothers and sisters, to respond to this commitment this morning? Are you ready? Can we pray? It's such a great privilege to be called by your name. We never asked for it. We never worked for it. We never even thought that one day we could be called yours. Who am I? Who are we that you even think of us? Lord, today we just want to say thank you. We don't just want to say it with our words. Lord, we want you to take pleasure in what we bring before you. We want to commit ourselves to you. Lord, as I said, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will take these words down from our heads to our heart. So whenever we stand in your presence, we'll not only stand as beggars, but we'll feel accepted. We'll be in communion, in relationship with you. We'll realize that we are loved and we mean more to you than we can ever imagine. And we will never be shaken by what is happening around us because we know that you, O God, have engraved us in the palm of your hand. And nothing can pluck us out of your hand because in your hand, in your presence, we are secured, we are safe. And our commitment to you, Lord, is to give you back everything that we have received from you. May it all be acceptable before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.